in short essay formats. They're already done, and they're going to be made available on the internet. I think it'll be a very good resource. So this morning, then, we're going to have a look at the love walk, the walk of love. And as we do, please join me in a prayer beforehand. Heavenly Father, we want to be your followers with authenticity, sincerely yielding our lives to Jesus, to your Lordship. And so, Father, we open our hearts and our minds now to hear from the Word of God, from the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our inner person, that your will be done and your kingdom come in and through our lives. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm keen to be as concise as I can this morning and be as succinct as I can, because what we're looking at is a very powerful subject. But let me just start by talking a few moments on faith, because faith, which we've been speaking about the last few Sundays, is the force that takes things, so to speak, from God. Everything that was purchased by Jesus at Calvary can be obtained by faith. This includes our salvation, healing, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. All of that comes to us by faith. And the scripture says in Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." It doesn't matter anymore, because Jesus has come. But it goes on to say this, "But faith working through love." Faith working through love. You know, I met many people who are focused on faith, and their emphasis is faith and faith and faith and faith, but where's the love? Where's the love? And if there isn't love, faith won't be active. The component that's needed for faith to work is love. When we had tremendous miracles taking place in the fellowship, people were healed, the newspapers reported it, medical science said it's impossible, but these things have happened. And people said, well, how can this be? You know, and there was a lot of attention on the church. When those things happened, I had ministers coming to me and saying, well, how can this be? When I really thought it through, I thought, well, it's the one thing that I'd noticed when I'd been in some of the big churches was that sometimes if I had to critique, because there often wasn't the power manifesting, there wasn't the miracles, I think my critique was that there wasn't the love. So there wasn't a sense of love for the people. There was a sort of almost an authoritative way with some of the big churches. It looked nice, there were smiles and whatever, but, you know, really, there needs to be love. And love manifests itself with humility. There must be humility. Love manifests itself in power. Sometimes it is humility, but whatever, there's going to be power when there's love. Because faith works through love. So without the love, you can pray all you want, loud prayers, people shout, people do whatever, nothing will happen. There has to be a love for the people. And I think the one component that we could say as a church that we had was love for the people. And because of that love, I believe God manifested his power. So it was a genuine and sincere love with no ulterior motives, no funny business, just a love for people. And that manifests then in tremendous power. That's how it works, according to the Bible and according to our experience. So now, when we come to look at the word love, it raises some interesting questions. It's in the Greek, there's four words for love in the Greek. Agape, eros, philia, and storg, which I won't go into the four words, we don't have the time this morning, but to say this, the one that we're going to look at this morning is really the strongest Greek word for love. And it's the word that probably we're most familiar with, but I'm telling you the truth, we need to get this clear in our foundations. Clearly, many people don't. Sadly, many people don't. The word is agape. Agape love we're looking at this morning. And agape love is the call of God for every Christian. It's a clear call of God. When you look at this, it's surprising what the implications are. It's proved agape love by action. Agape love is a verb. We read about this kind of love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. It says this, agape is patient. Agape is kind. It endures. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It isn't arrogant or rude, or selfish, or irritable, or resentful. So agape love then, my brothers and sisters, is not based on feelings or circumstances. The love that the Christian person has been called to own and express is a love that's not based on circumstances or emotions. It's much deeper than that. Emotions can be big one week, down the next. Agape love is not based on emotions. It's at a deeper level. Agape love is the love that keeps on loving when the loved one is unresponsive. It's regardless to the response that you might get when you love someone. When that person who you're showing agape love to is unkind or unlovable, in the natural use of that word, or unworthy, it's an unconditional love. It's a love that desires only the good for the one who is being loved. It's a consuming passion for the well-being of others. It's God's love for his people, manifesting then in his people to other people. That's agape love. Now, Jesus talks of this love. Let's turn in the scriptures to John 13 and read the words of Jesus. Jesus is very clear and very strong on this. John 13, 34. It says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now that love, the word love there, you see, if you read it in the English, it loses its power because we use love so often in the English. Oh, look at that chair. Oh, I just love that chair. Oh, I just love that chair. Don't you love that chair? But you love my jacket. Yeah, I saw you looking at it. I mean, you just love it, don't you? You just love the jacket, you know? And we use the love word so often in English, we use it for things that it devalues the word. We use it so often, it just loses its power and its strength. Brothers and sisters, please, this morning, let's be attentive to the word. Let's give attention to what the word is saying here this morning. Please, please do this morning with me, please. Because we need to differentiate from what the Greek, the original text, is saying here in using the word agape. The English is just so weak, especially the way that we use the word love today. This word that's been used by Jesus Christ, and remember this, a few weeks ago, I think it was only a few weeks, I mentioned about what it is to follow Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus, first someone must know what Jesus said. You can't follow him unless you know what he said. And to know what he said in this context, we have to understand the Greek word agape, because the English word love just isn't strong enough. Let's read what Jesus says to us here in John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he goes on to say, now watch this. He goes on to say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If, because he knew there would be some who wouldn't. If, and he differentiates. He says, the ones who do this, they're my disciples. To be a disciple of Jesus, you have to do this. Oh, but I pray. Oh, but I sing really loud and I'm really committed because I'm there. No, that's not the criteria that Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying the criteria here is love, agape love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Isn't that something? And the love that he's talking about isn't the English word. Strip the English word from your mind on this. Please, put the Greek in there. Agape love. It's the love that says, I have a my darling wife. And sometimes we haven't seen eye to eye on things. Difficult to imagine, I know. But there have been times. And then she's apologized and come the right way. Or I have apologized and gone the right way. And it doesn't matter, though, how things happen. There's a love regardless to whether we happen to see that everything the same way at that time. Or, for example, you've got brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandparents. When you think of them, is there a love there? I think most of the time there is. Some people have had difficult things happen in their lives, and so some things, sometimes it gets complicated, but I think in general terms, yes, there's an absolute love and an understanding of that love. And it's a very deep love. And it's a love that causes such warmth inside of us, or not even warmth, it causes such a sense of commitment. It's a commitment to that person. So that if a brother phoned up or a sister phoned up and said, I need your help, you'd be there, wouldn't you? Yes. Or if your mum or dad phoned up and said, hey, listen, I need your help, you'd be there for them, wouldn't you? Yeah. Or your grandparents, you'd be there, wouldn't you? That's agape love. That's agape love. That's the love that Jesus is talking about, that the Christians should have for one another. It's agape love. It's not some English version of love, some, you know, just light version. Oh, I just love the jacket. Oh, no, no, no. This is not that kind of love. This is a love that has a strong commitment. This is a love of commitment, regardless to how that person is behaving towards you. So if you're in a church and someone is being odd or mean or not being nice to you in some way, and they're sort of, you know, you feel disappointed with them, well, hey, what do you do with your brother and your sister? You say, oh, that's it. Forget about it. Hey, oh, he used to be my brother. This one over here, he used to be my brother. But, you know, he treated me so badly, you wouldn't believe it. Forget about it. I've got other brothers over here I'm going to find. Never. Never, ever, ever in the Christian church would that happen. That can't happen in the Christian church. Why? Because the Christian church has agape love. Now, it can happen if people have religion. And this is where you get to find how deep people are. You get to find out really what's under the surface. Because with religious folk, well, they can chop and change however, because there's no commitment. Because they don't have agape love. But if you have agape love, you can't pick and choose where you go, who you're with, or what you decide to do in your life. It's not your choice to make. If God puts you in a place of worship and you have brothers and sisters, God puts you there. Dare you move away. If you do move away, believe me, that's not showing agape love. Or let's say this, if there is a situation in the church and people feel perfectly at liberty to be at odds with someone else and they feel like they can be estranged to someone else, and yes, I like certain people in the fellowship, but this one over here or that one, I'm not going to fellowship with them. That's not agape love. And Jesus says to us this. He says, listen, the world will realize that you guys have got something they haven't got. What is that something? It's a commitment. It's the kind of love that you have within a family. It's a love that says, you know what? I'm there for you. I'm going to be with you. I am committed to you. Well, I mean, that's a strong commitment. You're right, it's a strong commitment. Oh, but I think that's a bit, that's making me feel a little bit, I mean, I would prefer just a lighter commitment, please. That would suit me better. I'm sure it would. But a lighter commitment isn't what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about agape love. It's strong commitment. It's the agape that took him to the cross. Without agape love, there's no cross. It's that agape love. And so Jesus says to us, listen, if you are to be my disciples, if you are to follow me, you must walk. Notice Jesus says it's a command, not a suggestion. This is not a suggestion for a good week when you're having a good week and the singing's been good and you just feel great. No, no, no. This is a command. Am I getting through this morning okay?
Amen.
Loud and clear? So think about it, the depth of commitment we're called to as believers. Now that's a real family commitment. We're commanded to love the people we fellowship with in church with a deep agape commitment. This makes it impossible for a follower of Jesus to treat in a casual way the relationships that they have within the church. You can't do that with agape love. If you do that, you prove that you don't have agape love. We've had situations, and many churches have situations where people come and go and they feel free to come and go and do whatever they wish to do. It's a proof there's no agape love. That's not within the parameters of Christianity. Isn't it good to get in the Greek?
Amen.
It's illuminating, isn't it? And it just excites me because it means that we have a route that we're meant to live by. And this is the love walk. This is the route that we're on. We are on a commitment one to another of love and honor. And that's a lifelong commitment. And it's a powerful commitment. And it really does mean that there ought not to be a sense of inconvenience or a sense of, you know, distance. Yes, look, relationships get messy. Relationships get, you know, there's ups and downs in families. There's arguing, there's quarreling, there's all sorts of nonsense that goes on. In all families, you have these things that happen. But through it all, hopefully, if they're right-minded people, there's a sense of love that sees everything okay in the end. That's what he's calling us to have. And he says to us that when we have that kind of love, the world will look at us and say, yes, now that's different. They'll know us because of this love. They won't know us because of our giving out of tracts. People can give out tracts without having this. But if you have this, the world knows us because it's a commitment of love. Now let me ask you, when's the last time you had someone round your house for a meal from the fellowship? We've got to do this. Or spending time, having just time with one another. It's not so easy when there's a lot of people and, you know, we can't know everyone. So it's not always easy, but you can know some. And you can pray and you can say, Lord, who should I invite round my home? Who should I invite round my home? Or who should I go out for a coffee with? Or who should I phone from the fellowship? Lord, just show me, Lord. Because I want to express that unselfish, agape love for my brothers and sisters. That's how it works, folks. That's what we're called to. And notice Jesus' words. I repeat them again. This is a commandment from Jesus Christ. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I must obey his commandment. I have no choice. I don't have the liberty to do anything else unless I have the religion of Christianity and I'm a religious person. And if I only have the religion of Christianity, I'm not bound necessarily to the relationship of Jesus Christ, in which case I can do whatever I would choose to do. I'll do what I choose to do. Thank you very much. But if I'm a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, that's not within the realms of possibility. The Bible makes that clear. It's strong. Isn't it strong? I mean, it's true and strong. If someone has, as I say, the shallowness of dead religion, they can go their own way, but not a follower of Jesus, surely not a follower of Jesus, because he commands us to agape love. We have to have agape love. The church is built on this kind of love and commitment. It is an abuse when people deny this. That undermines the testimony of the church. This is about the testimony of the church, because Jesus says, this command I give to you, that the world would know you. By not doing this, it undermines the testimony of the church. It's a very serious thing. Very serious. You know, when I was when I was 20 years old, I moved to London seeking fame and fortune. And I made a little demo cassette, and I said goodbye to my mum and dad and my brother and my sister. And I caught the train up to London and was on this adventure. But you know, when I left Wales, I left South Wales and took that train journey. When I arrived in London, I didn't say, that's it. That's it. Mum and dad, they were my past. Brother and sister, they were my past. I'm going to now find a new mum and dad, and I'm going to go for brothers and sisters. They were great for then, but I'm in the future now. I'm going ahead with my life. I didn't do that. I spent some nights in tears, thinking about my family back home in Wales. If the truth be known, I did. Because I loved them and I missed them. And my heart longed for them. That's the truth. And for a Christian who's a follower of Jesus, our hearts long for one another. Our hearts should be longing for one another. I long for the blessing of your life. I'm thrilled in my heart when I see that lovely new car that we went in and prayed last week about. You know, I'm just so happy in my heart, because my dear brother has the blessing of God in his life. My dear sister has that blessing, and their lovely family has the blessing of God in their life. And that thrills me. That thrills my heart. Why? Because he's my brother. And I love him. And when he's blessed, I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And Jesus calls us to this. And that will cause us to have a testimony that's strong to the world. Because what do the world need? The world needs to be loved. It needs to see love manifesting. It needs to feel that love. If I can go into the sense realm for a minute, the commitment of love is an intellectual commitment regardless to feelings and emotions. It says this, the Christian says this, Jesus called me to love, therefore I am going to love. But they've been bad to me. I don't care, I'm going to love. But they've been rude to me. I don't care, I'm still going to love. Yeah, but they've really been terrible. I don't care. I'm still going to love, because I'm committed to the walk of love. I'm going to love. It's a commitment. Now, because of that, what happens is it produces love. Produces love in other people. And the world eventually sees a testimony of love within the church. And there's nothing stronger than love. But it takes a commitment from us, because surely one thing is true. It's not a natural thing for us. Because in the natural, we lived in a sensual way. So that when someone is wrong to us or irritates us, we say, oh, forget about that. Well, you want to talk to me like that? You know who I am? you think you can talk to me like that? If you only knew. That's the flesh. That's the flesh and its pride And it's everything that's against the teachings of Jesus. The teachings of Jesus are humble, humility and love, and a generous attitude and a kindness and a warmth. And my friends, this is spiritual truth. This is the spiritual walk. This is the love walk. Jesus has called us to walk on the love walk. Isn't that beautiful? It's the love walk. And I'm so happy to be on the walk and asking him for help every day on it. But on the walk. You know, when I went to London, my love for my parents continued. My desire to see them was just as real and as strong as it was ever before. Agape love doesn't end. Nothing can end agape love. It continues. That's one of the other features of agape love. Once agape love starts, it never ends. It's a love without an ending. Isn't that something? It doesn't end. It just continues because it's not dependent on anything else. It's not dependent on the response. It's not dependent on anything outside of itself. Once it's ignited, it continues, and it continues because it continues. Well, this week I was studying the scriptures, and it was interesting. I was considering certain things that happen within the life of a church in relation to love. When someone leaves their God-given church family, and has hopped to another fellowship. I've got to be honest and talk openly and honestly. I need to, because I want us all to get things clear in our minds, you see. We have to be biblical. I want us all to be biblical because God builds on foundations of principles. The principles are key in the work of God. It's the principle that's important. So, for example, someone leaves their God-given church family and hops to another fellowship, for example. It's illegitimate. It's not agape love. It's not what Jesus commands. It's spiritual adultery. They fancy a change, something new. It's like the man who fancies the younger woman and leaves his darling wife and mother of his children, let's say, for a newer model. I believe that's wrong. I believe it's a manifestation of evil, utterly evil and wicked and selfish and wrong. And it's very dangerous ground for a Christian. Is to be avoided by all those who take seriously the words of Jesus and the command of Jesus for agape love. To love the Lord is to follow him wherever he leads, to obey him whatever he asks, and to trust him whatever is the trial. To love Jesus is to reflect the love that God has for us. In 1 John 4:10, it says this. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. It was quite interesting this week. I was in the house, in prayer, seeking the Lord about certain things. And I got an email from someone, and they sent me a verse of scripture. And the verse of scripture was this, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. And I thought, well, this is exactly in line with the study that I'm doing, which is on love. I want to share it with you as I close this morning, because it's very interesting. We see this manifesting in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. It says this, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved, he says. He says, the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. What an interesting verse of scripture. The more the Apostle Paul loved the people, the less he and his colleagues, the fellow church members that were involved in agape love, received love in return. Isn't that strange? Sometimes you invest in people, but you get very little back. Thanks be to God that that's not always the case. The key is, though, regardless to that, that you keep on loving. So you don't love in order to get love back. You don't love in order to get a response back. You love because Jesus says, this is the commandment that I've given you, to love. It's interesting, though, the scripture, when you read it in context, it says that the people who lack love take the calling of God's servants and the privilege of being loved for granted. The less the people walked in love, ultimately, the more corrupt they became in their lives. And the Apostle Paul and his fellow ministers were working and praying for the edification of people within the fellowship. So verse 19 says of that same portion in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19 says, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. So they were doing everything to help them, to build them up. Sadly, despite this intense godly pastoral love, some of the people within the fellowship were not walking the same way. And the apostle knew that this lack of love would have a clear evidence. And listen to what he says from verse 20. This is the warning that he says for those who weren't walking in this agape love. He says, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be. Now watch for the list of what happens when agape love isn't present. Watch for this list. Now these are clues that'll show us what you can expect if there's not agape love manifesting. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. When we see people showing the signs mentioned above, with contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults, we can be sure that this is an evidence of the lack of agape love for the brethren. Because if you walk in love, you don't have those things. Those things aren't present if you're walking in love. They can't be present. Because as Jesus walked, we consider the other before ourselves. And this creates an atmosphere of love and security, an atmosphere where roots can be planted, an atmosphere where fruit can flourish. It creates a foundation of richness and prosperity in the full biblical sense of those words. The seriousness of walking in this way is shown just a few verses later, and I'm coming to the close, brothers and sisters, but you must stay with me now. This is very important, because look at the warning of the Apostle Paul, and really he's concurring totally now with Jesus' command that we read at the start of this lesson this morning. Let's go just a few verses further to the next chapter, chapter 13. So we're looking now at 2 Corinthians 13. And in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul warns these people that they need to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. He says, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you are disqualified. My friends, there are some people who are disqualified. They think they're spiritual. They can pray long prayers. They can shout their prayers. They can look spiritual. They can talk about Jesus all they like. Talk about Jesus till kingdom come. But the truth of the facts are this, that Jesus says, a command I've given you. And you can talk about Jesus. You can sing songs. You can be active. But unless you've got agape love, you have nothing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Without the agape love, you have nothing. Oh, yeah, but I've got faith. You see, I've got such faith. No. Faith works through love. Oh, but I've given. Well, you can do all those things, but unless there's love, it's a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. Love is at the foremost of our Christian walk. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I'm asking this, that each one of us make a commitment. And the commitment be this: I will not walk by my feelings. I will not be a tempestuous child. I will be an adult in God's kingdom. And I will walk by the command of Jesus Christ, the Lord who I call on, the one who is in charge of my eternity, the one who went to that cross on my behalf, the one who rose again, and the one who promised me eternal life. I will walk by his charge. And his charge is this: love. And I will not be offended by my brothers and sisters. I will not have a tantrum like a toddler or a baby. I'm not going to be like that. Even if they're mean to me, I'm going to love them. Even if they misunderstand me, I'm going to love them. I'm going to show Christian maturity. I'm going to walk in the ways of God. I am going to live the Christian life. And know this, unless we walk that way, we're not living the Christian life. We may think we are. We may have convinced ourselves that we are because we like singing songs. But listen, this is fundamental. This is the ABC of the Christian faith. This is foundational stuff. This is the basic stuff. But it's so important to get the basics right. I find so many people don't. But that's not for us this morning. All who are here this morning, brothers and sisters, praise God for you and for your commitment to be here and your commitment to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's pray a prayer at the end of this time together now, that we would walk in love. Stand with me then as we pray this prayer. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we recognize the teachings of our Lord Jesus, calling us to walk in love. And Father, we choose not to be offended by other people. We choose instead to walk in love. Lord, we choose to walk in forgiveness. We choose to walk in humility. We choose to walk in your love, your agape love. That, Father, we would fulfill your call for our lives, that we would be who you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do. All of us now, please pray these words out with me. I choose this morning. To walk in love.
To walk in love.
To follow the command of Jesus Christ.
To follow the command of Jesus Christ.
My Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
To walk in his agape love.
To walk in his agape love.
To fulfill.
To fulfill.
The purpose and call of God.
The purpose and call of God.
In this world.
In this world.
And in eternity.
In
Jesus'
holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. If anyone would like any prayer or anything as we close now with a song, please feel free to come forward to the front.